for sharing the lunch time with me. Thank you. So I will present a framework for building digital communication chains, which is called AFECT. So to give a little bit of background, so because of the context here, so AFECT is a software developed for providing solution for software defined radio. So this has started a little more than 10 years ago. And well, was for building the components and also the contents of the opponents. Also the goal is to, as you know, to replace some of the hardware components into software components. And I will start with a very basic chain. So AFECT is the goal is to handle that kind of chains where you have a source, several layers of encoding algorithms, and then some channels that add some noise. And it will be able to be used in two ways, either for simulating error correction algorithms for the purpose of validating algorithms and be sure that they have the proper correction rate that we expect. So when we do the simulation, you know, we launch a lot of random messages that we modify with some control noise, and we check that what we have at the output is match what we send in the input. And also, it can be used in real communication chains. For instance, with it has been used with some satellite usages or some video processing also. And it involves three academic teams in France, two in Bordeaux. So there is the IMS laboratory in Bordeaux, which is more in electronics and numerical communications. There is the Team Storm in Atinoia in Bordeaux, which is more on computer science and HPC, and Team Alsoc at Leipzig. I will detail a little more. So Team Storm, which is the team I belong to, is a team that is initially only on computer science and HPC, so it's a little bit far from radio and SDR. We developed techniques for optimizing codes and programming models, usually for big supercomputers, but now we also target smaller devices for radio. The team from IMS in laboratory in Bordeaux is working on three domains, so analogic and mixed circuits, algorithms, and also numerical communications. So this is they are the main specialists of the team. And there is a team also in Paris at Leipzig laboratory, which is somehow at the interface between the two domains, computer science, classical computer science, and radio. So AFECT is organized that way. So there is the top layer where you have all the management for the modules. Sorry. The communication modules, so the simulator and also the algorithmics for the error correcting codes. And AFECT is built on top of two pieces of software, so StreamPU, which is the runtime part, which is in charge of handling the tasks and mapping them on the CPU cores, and scheduling and optimizing. And also the MIP library, which is dedicated on programming, giving access to the low-level SIMD intrinsics routines. So I will detail a little more these components. So first, the MIP library. This is a C++ library, so what we call the wrapper library, which means that it is only a header only library, which is included at compile time by the compiler. to templates. And the way it works, so it provides an abstract layer that you express your program with. So for instance, here we have a register which symbolizes a vector register from SIMD instruction set that we load with several components. And then we do some arithmetic here. And then when you compile this part of code on different architectures that are supported, so for instance, we support the instruction set from Intel, so for instance, for AVX, the assignment that you see here will be translated into the corresponding AVX2 intrinsic from Intel. Likewise, the operation here, the plus, is translated into the plus for AVX2 instruction set. And if you compile the same code on an ARM architecture, then it will be translated into the Neon instruction set instead. So the interest is that you keep your code largely independent of the hardware architecture that you target, and so it allows you to be quite portable and still to have a lot of control on the instruction that you use. And also this library is evolving, so we are also working on SVE. This is the new iteration of SIMD and Trin6 and instruction set on ARM, and also on supporting RISC-V and the V extension of RISC-V. Then the second big part of AFFECT is the StreamPU runtime system, which is in charge of handling the work and mapping that work on the hardware resources. So its role is to use a C++ thread and use this thread to execute the code and the work that is submitted by the task in the chain of communication. So for that, the programmer uses an API that is a kind of embedded language in C++ for building streaming chains. So here is an example, a very basic example where we have just four tasks. So the task will be the element that act on the flow of data. So you can imagine that on a flow of radio information, you act on each packet or each frame. So you create the component here. So we have two notions. We have the task, which is the actual routine that will be used, and a module is slightly higher level abstraction that groups several tasks together of that are related. For instance, if you have a coding algorithm, you will have the corresponding decoding algorithm that will be part of the same module from a software point of view. So you create your module object, and then you build your chain, so you bind the task. Each binding operation is managing both the memory allocation for the buffers and also passing data from one task to the other. And then you build you wrap that into a sequence, and then you execute the sequence here, which will do the actual processing of data. So this is the simplest version. Then you can have also a more complex aggregate of tasks. For instance, here you have several inputs, you have several outputs that might correspond more to actual chains that you might have to build. Also, you have conditional, so you can have branching here, and you can select different paths according to the data that you find in the frames that you process. So it's a kind of if-else or a switch case that you would have in a regular program. You have also loops, of course, so you can, for instance, iterate if you have if you have some kind of synchronization in your communication chain to synchronize on the some signal, so you can repeat a part until some condition is reached. And then what would allow us to actually use parallelism is the notion of pipeline. So here you can see that the task can be grouped into several stages, and each stage will be mapped onto one CPU core. So stage one here will be mapped on one core. Here we have three tasks in the second stage that will be mapped on the same core here, and then another stage here. You can, if you want, control everything about the mapping of the stages and all things are grouped. And also, we provide some way to automatize the mapping of this work onto multi-cores. So first step is to automatically replicate the stages that can be run on several threads. So the condition for that is that this stage must be stateless. So it must not have some state that is kept from one frame to another frame. If this stage is stateless, that means that, for instance, the frame one can be processed on one thread going here, and then the second frame coming could be processed in parallel in the second thread, and so on. If there is an internal state between the frame, then it's not possible, because then you have a dependence, and then you cannot replicate this part. Just to show you a little more, because it was a little small, so you can see here the pipeline that is replicated, and then it's mapping on the CPU cores here. So here, until now, everything is handled by hand, so you can see in the code here that we build the stages, we build the mapping on the threads, and also we indicate on which core we map each thread. And also, to give more flexibility and more automatism, we have some work on automatically mapping this work onto the multi-core architecture. So there is a thesis from Jeanne Oran in Bordeaux, who has been working on this topic. So she's in her last year of PhD now. And she designed an algorithm to map these tasks and stages onto the CPU cores. So again, we will distinguish two kinds of parallelism. So we will have the pipeline parallelism, which is just parallelism in time. So we have the one thread here and one thread here. If we cannot be sure, or if we know that there is a dependency between the stages, and if we know that there is no dependencies between some stages here, we will allow a replication with the algorithm. So the idea is this way. So we will consider two kinds of tasks: so the stateless task and the stateful task, and this is the way that it would work. So we have some information about the duration of each task. We assume, the assumption that we make is that each task will have the same duration for each frame. This is the assumption from that algorithm for now. And we have a frame that enters the process. And so it will go to stage one here, and then to stage two, stage three, and then once the stage one has been completed, we can let the second frame enter the stage one here, and we see that the frame one is now reaching stage two on a different core, and so on. And you can see here also that we have some parallelism here, so we can process so task one, the task five here, and task six here, and so the result from that is presented in a paper that you can find on the web that describes the algorithm that is used for that, which is called OTAC, So it has been proved optimal for chains when we have the assumption that the task have a constant time. So for a given stage, each task will have the same time. And the way that that it behaves, so we compared it with other mapping algorithms that are existing right now. So, for instance, the algorithm that was known as BEST before that, which is called Nicole here. And so the experiment that we do here, we have on X the number of resources that we allow to use, and on Y the megabyte per second that we are able to reach. And we have two metrics. With the dots, these are the metrics that are measured, and the straight lines are the metrics that are simulated. So we wanted to see if we were close to what we were expected in terms of results. And we can see that OTAC gets the best result. So it is able to reach the highest bandwidth while using the lowest number of resources. You can see that some alternatives, for instance, you have the here the RBM here is able to use to reach also the same level of bandwidth, but it uses more resources for that. So there is a waste here. So here these are the numbers corresponding to the graphs. So what is stimulated, what is measured, and the number of resources that were used to reach this best bandwidth. Also some example of using affect in read chain. So that was a work between Airbus and the IMS laboratory about building a chain for transmitting video for satellite. So it's called DVB-S2. So it's a quite complex chain. So each, you can see here we have 8 stages. Some stages have, you can see on several tasks, 5 tasks here. And this is the decoding part. And we measured at a fine-grained level the performance of all the stages. So you can see in red, it is the stage that cost the most and which is stateful. So we cannot parallelize this one. And you can see that stage 7 here is the one that cost the most, but which is parallelizable. So it doesn't have an internal state. So we can replicate it on several several cores. And what we obtain here using parallelism, so this is an example here. So if we use only the sequential version, with this throughput, so 4 megabytes per second, but if we run the same computation on multicore, so using parallelism, so using replication of the state that is expensive, then we were able to reach 55 megabytes per second for the same the same computation. So on rather not too large computers. So we also have been working on targeting heterogeneous processor. So in this example, I'm not talking about GPU, but using a processor with different kind of cores. Big-little, for instance. So here is an example. So it was on an Apple processor, but we did also some similar tests with other machines. So the way that that this machine is laid out is that you have 4 clusters of performance cores, and you have some small consumption cores that are the e-cores here. And we experimented on the thread pinning of affect computation on top of this machine. So first, So we made three tests. So one using the OS scheduler. So we let Linux choose how to map the threads. And the colors here correspond to the occupancy of each core. So you can see that we have four blue cores here. So this corresponds to this blue cluster here. And likewise, we have green, and also we have the low consumption cores in violet and maroon here. So this first test is using Linux, and then we use different pinning by hand, so pinning for throughput or pinning for maximizing energy saving, and we can see that we can get some interesting gain. So for instance, strategy one here for pinning for throughput, so we have a slight gain in throughput, and also better behavior in terms of energy consumption. But also, if we are able to allow for lowering the throughput a little bit, we can have some quite significant energy efficiency gain here, so about 20% here. Okay, so we also have been working on providing some easier way to program with Affect. So as I said, Affect is in C++, and by default you have to use C++ to program it. So it's not very high level C++. It's C++11 that we use.